All right, we are continuing our series on relational living. This is part three of the series. Last week we had a little video issue. I hope we don't have one again today. But the audio, we was able to get that, and you can find it on the church website, and I think it might have got shared on Facebook, I'm not sure. Every now and then you'll have that, right? So, anyway, we're not moved by what we see or feel. We're just moved by the Word of God. Amen? Okay, so as we're talking about relationships, you know, it's important. Last week we talked about marriage and how all that works, and some of it, you know, we could definitely transfer over into other relationships too. But today we're going to be talking a lot about, I guess, fellowship. So relationships develop through fellowship, plain and simple. That's how they develop. You have to have some fellowship. And we need to get to know and connected to other Christians of like precious faith. It's so important that we do that. Now, a lot of times, you know, we keep other people at arm's length because of lack of comfort on our part. We don't, maybe don't feel secure in our own walk, maybe, or different things. I know that was like that for me starting out. I mean, I was so afraid I was going to say something bad that I just kind of maybe stayed away from some things. But I finally found out that that's not going to work. You know, I had to go and avail myself to get to know other people, and I found out that they were not as perfect as I thought they were. But I wasn't either. You know what I mean? And so that made the playing field a little more level, if you know what I'm saying. You know, because we all have issues that we're dealing with. And so as you go through life, you know, it's not all the time what you know, although education is important, but it's who you know. And we need to know fellow believers in the local church. You know, it can't be Facebook church, you know, where in a sense, you know, yeah, we feel that connection there maybe a little bit, and that's fine. But you need to kind of seek out a local church and start to build some relationships, because it's going to make such a difference in our life. And for me, starting out, I was able to keep my world separate. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I kept my Sunday world separate from my secular world. I had these two different worlds I was living in. And my mannerisms didn't really change that much, but I just never let those worlds come together. But all of a sudden, those two worlds collided. There come a time when them two worlds collided. And what I had to do, for me, fortunately, the church world won. You know, where I was able to, you know, move over to the place in my walk with God where, you know, I could be a Christian out in the world and was not ashamed of it, you know, was not afraid. And see, that's what I want us to get to today. And that just comes by, as we develop, a level of comfort in our faith, where we can share our faith and we can talk about our faith. You know, I don't want to get off base here yet, because it's too early in the message, right? But I used to do a lot of witnessing. And, you know, some people tell me, my faith is personal. You know, I don't, you know, tell anybody about it. And I said, well, does God know about it? You know, I mean, if it's so personal, I mean, that's not what faith is. Faith is something that's out. It comes out of us. You know, when we get to know Jesus, there should be something that goes off inside of us where we start to crave, you know, other fellowship with other believers of like precious faith, so we can build each other up, you know, praying for each other and seeing God's Holy Spirit move in our life. The passage of scripture I want to use as a launching pad today is found in Philemon. I almost said Philippians. That's an easy mistake. Philemon is this one chapter, like Jude is, one chapter. So we'll look at Philemon verse 4 to verse 7. Philemon verse 4 to verse 7. Now, it starts off here. It says, I thank my God always, this is Paul talking, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith of which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Then he says in verse 6 is our key verse. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. So Paul was writing this letter to another Christian. He was talking to this Christian and kind of encouraging them, and he was admiring them for what they did and how they did some things. And it goes on to some other stuff later where he has to deal with a personal issue where one of his slaves ran away. And he had to, you know, Paul was wanting him to accept him back as a brother because he was a Christian. So that's another story some other time. But a little recap of what we've done before. First week we talked about how in Amos, how we need to have agreement if we're going to walk hand in hand with somebody. If you're going to go with somebody, you have to pre-decide, you know, to enjoy the journey, and it prepares us for the destination, but you have to decide what the journey is going to be. You know, you just can't have this que sera, sera, whatever will be, you have to have a plan, you have to get a plan, you want to have a destination, you want to go on this journey with somebody, and that's kind of like that what we need to do, and it's like that with relationships. Not everybody will you feel close to as you do certain people. You're going to have your inner circle, right? Jesus had his inner circle. Peter, James, and John, they were the ones who kind of went off with him and done certain things, and that was just the way it was, but he still loved the others. He had those in their life. He just didn't kick them to the curb. No, he wanted relationship with all, but you're going to have some people you feel closer to, and that's okay. But you want to be open to other relationships in your life, especially Christian relationships, as far as it helps us, and we're going to see why here in a moment. Also, relationships, as we looked in the dating world, I guess, a little bit, relationships are about all parties involved. You can't be a doormat. If you're going into a relationship with somebody, especially for marriage, and you have to change yourself to get that person to love you, you're not going to be able to keep up that masquerade. You just got to go in there. I mean, we're going to evolve and grow in our relationships, right? You know, we're not the same in a relationship as the day we started, because we blend with each other, we rub off on each other, we sort of change each other, and that's good. So that's why you want to make sure you're, now you don't want to be yoked with somebody who's, you know, dragging you down the bad road. You know, if you're at a marriage now with that, then you need to really seek God to help, you know, move in that situation. But, you know, primarily we need to just see that, you know, that we don't have to be a doormat. Next, you know, we also want to make sure that we develop a shared purpose. And I use the illustration, you know, that if your purpose is your kids move away, you just lost your purpose. And that's why some marriages, after their kids move out, sometimes go through a hard time. So along the journey, you need to work on some things with your spouse to have common ground so that you can grow together, not just go together, right? We have to grow together. And then lastly, you know, intimacy can be achieved by the word, prayer, and worship. So, you know, God bless. I mean, if, you know, a great life is if you can find somebody that loves Jesus and grab them. Amen? Amen. Marry them. Amen. If it's God's will. I don't want to go too far with that. You just can't pick one, take one from somebody else. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, you want to find somebody and you want to build a life together. Yes. Attending the local church, being involved in the local church, yes. You know, worshiping God together. You know, I thank God I have a wife that loves to worship Jesus, you know, and it's just so edifying. It builds us up, you know. You know, everybody likes their glass filled, right? You don't want somebody just to take all the life out of you, you know. You got to find somebody, and, you know, hopefully you find that, and you're heading that way. So we're going to start off today. First point is going to be talking about common ground. Now, we talked about that last week a little bit, but I want to expound on it just a little bit more, because it's in a different area here. So we're going to pray and get started. Amen. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you desire for us to have godly fellowship one with another. And Lord, we just ask that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be here today, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God and you are the Spirit of truth. And Lord, lead us to that truth. I thank you for what you put inside of me, Lord, the gift, and I use it for your glory, and I bind the devil from trying to steal the word in any shape or form, and for the gifts to be in operation in Jesus' name. Okay, so finding common ground. Now, we looked at that last week in the area of marriage. Now, I just want to talk about it in a kind of a general sense. So it's easier, as you probably figured out by now, talking to someone that's new when you know someone else who we have in common. Years ago, we're at a college visit up in Iowa and with one of our kids, and we walked into the room with the counselor, and they asked, "Where are you from?" And we said, "Do you know so-and-so?" "Yes, we knew so-and-so." All of a sudden, there was a connection there. It kind of changed the whole atmosphere, shall we say, in the room a little bit, because we felt we had common ground. And so sometimes those sort of things do that. So you can use that little technique sometimes to try to find something to get common ground, because common ground builds common connection. So we felt like we were connected to this person, and how that does help with anything that we do. And another kind of weird thing, I think of weird things every now and then. Have you ever been in another town or even another state and you ran into somebody from Albia? You know? And all of a sudden, wow! All of a sudden, you have kind of a connection to that person. Hey, we got Albia in common. I know it's only a small town, but you know, you have that feeling there. You feel connected. Even though in Albia, you never talk to that person. You know what I mean? You never really talk to them. You don't ever go up and say hey to them or anything like that. You know, you may wave at them. That's about it. Or give the finger when you're driving. Not the bad finger. I mean, you know, you lift your finger up. That's my little wave sometimes, you know, when I'm driving. Sometimes I'll go whole-handed if I know them real good. But a lot of times, my grandpa taught me that one, I think. Just go like that. But, you know, but then you see them in another place. Because you're there in this place and it's a little different. You feel a little maybe, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but it's different. But you're looking for common ground. You're looking for connection. See, we were created to look for connection. We're looking for common ground. We want to be a part of something. That was put in us by God. You know, so it's hard to be a part of something unless we choose to be a part of it. Right? You know, unless we choose to avail ourselves. And, you know, I've been where a lot of people are. I mean, I wasn't raised in a church, per se. We went now and then again. But, you know, it wasn't really part of my thing. And so church was foreign to me. But when I moved to Denver, I wanted to change my life. And, you know, me with my lightning quick intellect, I knew I needed God. I mean, I knew I needed help. I tried, couldn't do it. Well, then I went to a church. A little uncomfortable. Didn't know anybody. It was a church about 1,000. Now, the benefit of a big church, you can zip in and zip out. Nobody knows you. You know what I mean? And, you know, you don't really have to build connection. But I knew I had to. So I looked for ways. Look for ways to get to know other people. Look for opportunities the church had. I was single at the time, and they had a singles group. So I went to that. You know, I was quiet. I sat there sometimes. But, you know, in little by little, I started to, you know, get to know other people. And then finally, through a process of different relationships, I surrendered my life to Christ. But that never would have happened if I wouldn't have made the visit. I had to go. I had to go and be a part of it, because, you know, we live in a world now with social media that, you know, we feel connected, but yet we're not connected. You know, we feel we're a part of something, but we're really not a part of nothing. And so that's why, you know, we need to take advantage of, you know, things we have, you know, at our disposal to try to grow, because common ground opens up communication lines. Common ground opens up communication lines in our life. You know, we need that. Now, we all know women talk more than men for the most part, right? I mean, so many words a day, I can't remember what it was, but it's quite a disparity, you know. But still, us men, we need to talk. We need to build some relationships and talk to people, you know, and try to find some things out, you know, and it helps us to grow. So verse 5 up there talked about showing love and faith towards Jesus and the saints. Well, it's hard to do that if you don't know anybody. You know, it's hard to help somebody if you don't know who needs help. So that's why it's good to be a part. Now, I believe this with all my heart. Now, I can prove this because I've tried it. I believe that we should be able to connect with any Christian on this planet, other than a language barrier. I'll give you that one. But I've proven this. I've been on a lot of mission trips, been overseas, and I'll tell you what, once you find another believer of like precious faith, you can have in serious fellowship
yes.
with somebody that's not even from your culture. Because what do you have in common? Jesus.
Thank you.
You can have Jesus in common. You know, the Bible says that he holds all things together by the word of his power in Hebrews chapter 1. I think it's verse 3. But how much more can Jesus hold us together just because we have him in common? But we have to be comfortable enough to be able to talk about those sort of things. And, you know, talking about your own personal relationship. I think you should try. I mean, I would try this out first on somebody you know real good, you know. Tell them about your relationship with Jesus. You know, how did you come to know the Lord? What is God doing in your life right now? You know, is he doing anything, or so you don't think? A lot of times when you don't think he's doing anything, it's when he's doing the most sometimes. You know, but what's God doing? Because, you know, it's awesome. Well, then when you get into a situation, now you have a little bit to talk about. You've already, I don't want to say rehearsed it, but you've already spoken about it. You've articulated what's in your heart to somebody else that you trust, maybe a spouse or a real close friend. And it gets you to the place where you've developed confidence. That's what we need is confidence, because our love for Jesus should overflow to other believers. Simple as that. Our love should overflow to other believers. And, you know, because they're our teammates. They're our teammates. They're part of who we are. So what is fellowship? Let's define that first. You know, the word for fellowship in Philemon 6 is the Greek word koinonia. Has anybody ever heard that before? Koinonia. Raise your hand if you've heard it before. Ooh, three of you. Cool. Anyway, koinonia. And everybody say that. No, I'm just kidding. It's a fun word to say if you want to say it. But what it means is to share in fellowship with participation. See, it doesn't just mean fellowship, but fellowship with participation. So that means we need to participate in some way, shape, or form. Now, it's a close mutual relation, and we get to saying the feeling is mutual. Now, to me, this is me. Now, I'm not much of a talker, but I do talk. Now, I would prefer to sit in a room and discuss things and get to know somebody versus going to the theater and watching a movie with them. Now, you may have fellowship going to the movie, but you're not talking. At least you better not be, right? You shouldn't be talking during a movie. That's rude, right? Come on, really? Yeah. So, to me, that's more in line with this Greek word koinonia. It's fellowship with participation, where we each have something to share. Now, when we're in a small group Bible study and things, I tell the teachers, do not make anybody talk if they don't want to. That's a law. That's a rule. Because nothing will chase somebody away unless you force them to do something. But I try to encourage people. You know what? Some of my greatest, other than driving the church van with the kids, I just love that. For the most part. And the kids say, how do you do this? I go, huh? See, I don't hear very good. But anyway, one of the great thrills I get also is when we're in a prayer meeting and I hear somebody pray in public for the first time.
Amen.
I just I feel so good.
Amen.
So proud. Let somebody overcome that fear. That obstacle. You know, that was holding them back. Because I know deep down inside, everybody probably really wants to, you know, because this is kind of part of the deal. But, you know, that's just awesome. But see, the idea of what it means to participate. So when you get into a group setting, it's good to share a little bit. You know, try to get to the place and, you know, our church, in my opinion, is the best church in town. No, I'm just saying that because I'm biased. But I mean, I don't believe we're a lot of gossips. I don't hear a lot of gossip in our church. That's pretty much a no-no in our fellowships. You know, we're in a group meeting. We don't talk about somebody else. You know, we may mention we're going to pray for somebody and just leave it at that, but we don't do that. So you need to take that in consideration that when you're in there, that they're not going to gossip about you. You know, and you just kind of share a little bit what's on your heart, and you'll find out how liberating that is. And, you know, what happens is the idea is that this koinonia is talking about sharing our faith together. You know, it could be talking about evangelism, should be talking about how to witness and how to be a better witness. That should be part of our conversation, how we can lead people. We got Resurrection Sunday coming up right around the corner. We need to think about how we can reach people, how we can draw people in to the kingdom of God. Now, so we need to be a better witness to our friends and the people around us. So more talking about sharing our common faith with others. Now, to understand that, we need to buy into the concept that we're better together. Did you know that? We are better together than what we could ever be alone. We're better together than what we could ever be alone. And, you know, when you're alone, sometimes you don't see that. You're just like, oh, I can't do that. You know, I'm scared. I just can't do that. But see, God wants us to understand the idea that, you know, when we come together, and there's a strength in that. And what happens if it's true fellowship with participation, you know, fellowship about the Lord with each other increases our knowledge of the Lord. You know, when I first got saved, you know, being single, I was, you know, I've shared this before, I wasn't quite the first one there, but I was definitely almost the last one to leave church every Sunday. We just used to stand out in the foyer there, a bunch of us single people, and we'd just talk. And some of us, you know, we'd kind of kid around, not kid around about the word, but, you know, we'd share the word on each other, I mean, with each other, you know. Have you ever tried the word of God on one of your friends, you know? Instead of picking them up, you're just using the word against them. I mean, we was kind of, you know, doing stuff like that, just building each other up, hopefully. And most of it was all good. But, you know, we were doing that, and really it was as deeper than a lot of people get their whole life. And we were just kind of doing it in jest. Just kind of talking about God that way. You know, so, but what happens is that we learn from each other. You learn from other people around you. Now you learn through this kind of atmosphere, the teaching of the Word of God, but also when we fellowship with each other, it's kind of like iron sharpens iron. We rub off on each other. And so fellowshipping in and around the faith will help us to better understand who we are and what we have in Christ. The most dangerous person on this planet is somebody who knows who they are and what they have in Christ.
Amen.
Can't be stopped.
Thank you.
Can't stop this. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. If you know who you are and what you have in Christ, no devil can ever stop you. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing can stop you. And we have to hold on to that truth. And how do we get that? We take advantage of every opportunity to grow. You know, we need to try to grow wherever we're at. You know, and everything that we're in, we can learn something from that situation. You know, we need to immerse ourselves in Christian culture in order to get us where the Lord wants us to be. You just got to jump in. You know, have you ever kind of stuck your toe in the water and felt a little chilly? You know? You go to a hotel to stay and you're looking forward. I look forward to the hot tub. That's my main thing. If no hot tub, me no go there. I mean, if I'm going to pay money, I want to have a hot tub. That's one little treat I enjoy in life is to go and float around in the bubbles, I guess. But every now and then, you get out of the hot tub, you stick your toe in that pool. Yikes. That's nasty, ain't it? Just cold. What's the best thing to do? Toe by toe going in? No. Just jump in. Couple seconds, it's over, right? Your heart starts again, and then you're good. No, but it's just best to jump in. Just jump in. The water's great, right? The water's great, but you got to jump in. So we need to immerse ourselves, because here's what happens. You know, anything in the kingdom of God, comprehension will lead to apprehension. If we can comprehend it, we can reach it. We can get it. We can appropriate it for ourselves and for our life. But we have to you know, comprende. You know what I mean? You got to understand what it's saying. And we get that, you know, by fellowship also, by coming together and being able to share with each other, and we can learn from each other, and then we can be able to reach everything. It's talking about that fellowship of the faith, getting what we need out of from God. So I always used to say, me and a friend of mine, we used to preach each other happy. You know, we would just start talking to each other and kind of build each other up. You know, not tear each other down, right? The devil does that. You know, the devil, we don't need to help him. You know, we need to preach people happy. You start telling the good news. Start telling the good things that God's doing in their life. And start to preach them that way, and, you know, see what happens. Because I have a simple way of looking at this. I want to be better. See, the better we are, the better we can help others become. Right? You can only help somebody as far as you know. After that, it stops. But the better we are, the better we can help other people. So that's why it's worth getting sanctified, shall we say, that big Christian word, set apart. It's worth growing in Christ so that we can help other people. Now, Christian love and fellowship are a witness to a lost and dying world. We got a world out there, and nothing, you know, bugs me more as when you see Christians arguing about little petty doctrine things on Facebook or whatever. It's just ridiculous. You know, there's a time for that, and I think I talked about that last week a little bit, but, you know, we need to be a witness and, you know, showing that we get along, you know, with each other and looking how to do that, because, you know, none of us are perfect. We're all going to say things wrong, do things wrong, misunderstand things, but we've got to see the big picture. What's the big picture? God wants us connected. God wants me to be a part of something bigger than myself. And so I need to be a part of that. And I got to press on through all these other things to be able to get to that place. So here's three things that Christian fellowship kind of boils down to each of us having. Number one, it has a shared faith. You know, we have, you know, Jesus and his word. We have a shared faith with each other. You know, how that all transpires, you know, around the Word of God, and how we can talk about that, what Jesus is doing in my life, and what the Word of God has done in my life. To me, the Word of God is a transforming power. Nobody can tell me any differently. You know, I didn't rehabilitate myself. The Word of God changed me.
Amen.
It changed me.
Yes.
Just the revelation, not information, but revelation. When something is revealed by the Spirit of God, it'll change your life. Never the same. Never the same. But it only comes by, you know, you have to avail yourself to jump in and get in there. Number two, as well as shared faith, is you have shared convictions. See, convictions is kind of how we interact with that word. You know, to put it bluntly, we all don't do everything in the Bible, right? Everything? Come on. Probably not. Hopefully most. But there's some things we're just not there yet, especially if we're growing and maybe just coming into the things of God. So there's certain things that I have convictions about and you have convictions about. And it just means that there are certain parts of the Bible that ring truer in you than maybe somebody else. One of our convictions, we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe a spirit-filled experience is important to have. We don't judge people who don't believe that way, but I mean, we stress that sort of thing. That's our conviction. We want people to come in the deepest contact with God that they can. You know, other churches' conviction is that they have certain doctrines you don't break. You know, I'll just throw one out. Some churches don't believe in women ministers. That's their conviction. That's their, when they grab a hold of the Word of God, that's what they see, and that's my conviction, and that's what I'm going to stick by. You know, we don't have that conviction here, as officially. You may have it personally, but officially as a church, we don't have that conviction. You know, we believe that God can use women, and He does. You know, and that's just kind of how we roll. Lastly, is shared behavior. So we had shared faith, talking about, you know, getting in the Word, shared convictions, how we interact with the Word. Now shared behavior is how we have allowed the Word of God to change our behavior. Okay? Our behavior has changed. You know, the more in contact you come with Jesus and the Word of God and other believers of like precious faith, it changes the way we act in the world. It does. Now, we're going to have some relapses, right? We're going to fall. Like I always say, fall forward. Fall towards God. Don't fall away from God.
Yes.
Because you're going to fall. But see, we have to have those behaviors. The Word of God at some time in our life have to change us. They have to change us. And that shows that we've allowed the Word of God to work. Because there's no problem with the Word of God. No. It has power, you know, dunamis power, has power in the Word of God to be able to change us. The problem is our heart isn't really open sometimes because we've hardened it. We've put a callus there. Like I still have one callus that kind of bugs me still. When I was cooking out at the fair last year, that griddle, my finger touched the hot spot. And ever since then, it's had a little callus. Well, that callus is growing out now, moving around, but, you know, it's all I can do not to want to rip it off, but I know I better not right yet. But see, that's a hard spot. There's not a lot of feeling. And see, when we harden our heart to the Word of God, we don't have a lot of feeling. We don't let it get to us like we should. Has the Word of God ever gotten to you? Oh, my. Let that word come in and boom. Big change. So, shared faith, shared convictions, and shared behavior. So, how do we connect? How do we get connected to other people? Now, granted, I know the personality test. Some people, like my wife, can walk in a room and not know a stranger. When I walk in a room, everybody's strange to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I can edit that part out, don't worry. No, but, you know, she's a connector. You know, as a pastor, I wish I had that gift, you know, but I don't. But I've tried to develop it a little bit to the best of my ability. So it's a skill that can be developed, but it just takes a little bit of work if you're not that type of person naturally. Some people, like I said, are wired, but we can get rewired so that we can be that. And it's kind of like, you know, if your house is cold and you go buy a thermostat. You know what a thermostat is, right? It's how you change the temperature. And what's cool with that thermostat, you just move it one way and all the heat will come on, move it the other way, the air conditioner will come on. So if you're cold, well, I'm going to go buy me a thermostat. Well, you go buy that thermostat and put it on the wall, nothing happens. Why? It's not connected to the furnace. You have to connect it to something. And see, we need to be connected. And, you know, and to do that, I know there's wireless stuff now. I don't know of this in furnaces per se yet, but 99.9 furnaces in homes. You have to have a physical connection between your thermostat and your furnace for that to work. It needs that physical connection. We need that physical connection. We need to be able to have the opportunity maybe to shake somebody's hand. It's just a form of touch, right? We need to be able to do a hug every now and then. We need to be able to have that interaction with other believers because that's how God made us. We need that connection. Just as simple as that. And if we don't get that, then it doesn't work sometimes. We'd feel like something's missing. We may feel, you know, separated, you know, from the things. And that's why I mentioned it earlier, just how social media has hurt us because wirelessly people are connected, but they're not really connected. And they have a sense of belonging, but they never really belong. You know, I talked to some people. And they say they're struggling, they're lonely. I said, well, do you have any friends? They go, yeah. I go, wow, that's cool. But most of them's online. Some of them are in other countries. They're not really your friends. They can be a little bit, but I mean, you need to find local. You know what I mean? People in your, because in your camp where you can, you know, do stuff because we need that physical touch. So points to work on as we're doing this, trying to find connection. Number one is don't predetermine your assessment of a new person. Have you ever done that? You look at somebody and you think you have them figured out. You think, I'm not gonna probably like that person. Why? Oh, I just got a hunch. You know, I don't think I will want to be a fellowship with that person. You know, but I've, you know, thought of people that maybe I didn't feel I could have a connection with, found out they're my best friends. You know, I could get a connection. I mean, but see, so predetermined ideas will affect us. It'll hold us back. So don't do that. Number two is to make the other person feel valued. Make them feel good about themselves. How many enjoy hearing somebody just talk about themselves all the time? How many sitting by somebody? No, don't say that. Don't tell me who that is. But you ever ran into somebody, all they do is talk about themselves. You know, and they're name dropping. You know what I mean? That kind of wears on me after a while. Who cares that you know that person? I know Jesus. You know, you don't see me going around bragging all the time about that, you know? I mean, but yeah. So if we go into the conversation wanting to build the other person up and fill their glass, it's going to fill our glass. You know what I mean? So that's another thing we can do. And, you know, and try to get our body language right. Looked engaged and not distracted. You know, one of my failures is this area. When I'm at the door, shaking hands or whatever with people when they're leaving, you know, and if somebody wants, it's hard for me to get into a deep conversation because my primary thing is I want to shake everybody's hand before they leave. Because not picking, I may not see people for a while. Not everybody comes every week. And then I feel cheated if I don't get at least say hey to somebody and not see them for three more weeks or something, you know what I mean? So please don't get offended if you see me, you know, jumping out of the conversation. Man, I know that's maybe not proper etiquette, but my prime thing there is to de-greet people. Jimmy and Sarah does awesome greeting them. Amen? They're the greeters. But I de-greet, you know. That's my thing. As a pastor, I just want to have that connection. So if you want an in-depth conversation with me, let me know. We'll schedule a time, and I will make time for you. I will make time where we won't be interrupted by other things. So anyway, be a good listener. Find out what they value. Number four, find common value in which you can value together, you know, doing that. And like I say, in rehearsal, you know, be ready to give an answer what God's doing in your life. People want to know about you. You may not think they do, but they do. They want to know what God's doing in your life because you could be an inspiration to them. Amen. I mean, you think, oh, I don't, you know, nothing really is happening, da-da-da-da-da. But your testimony, to them what God's doing can make an impact.
Yeah.
You just don't know what the Holy Spirit will do. And lastly, be yourself. Be authentic. Don't be a fake. You know, don't be somebody here and somebody else out there. Right? So don't put on that. Okay. Lastly, in closing, how do we apply this? Is number one, or A, decide you want to be a better connector. You just got, it's whatever, that's how it works. You got to want something to get it. If you don't want it, you won't get it. So if you want to be a better connector and build better relationships, decide that you want to do that. Number two, know these skills can be developed. You know, and just pray that the Lord will help. Number three, engage with good connectors and learn from them. You know, I try to watch my wife. I try to learn. Now, I can't do everything she does, you know, in the way that she does it. I'm not wired that way. But I have learned some things from her, you know, about how to be a better connector. How to be, because I don't want to exclude anybody, but I do know that if I'm not more outgoing, they can take it that way, right? Because I'm sending maybe the wrong message, you know. And lastly, just step out. And you know, well, Pastor, I need a little practice. Well, that's what this is about.
Right.
Practice here. Practice at church. Try to get to know other people. Talk to them. Come to the Wednesday night studies that we have. Great opportunity to build some relationships deeper with other people and get to know them. And they get to know you. Then you'll find out you have people in your corner. You know, it just amazes me as I watch over the years how different relationships have developed in the church, and just how that when somebody has a problem, they go to them and they pray for each other and they help each other. Amen. Nowhere does it say I have to be involved in every relationship. That's not physically possible. You know what I mean? But when you build each other up, that's what it's all about. That's when Jesus is moving. He's getting things done. Amen. And that's what we want. So let's close in prayer.